for the rubble of basketball. Give me, give me, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it.
All right, the NBA playoffs are well underway, and last night we saw the New York Knicks beat the Pacers 121-117. But I think the story of the night was the Timberwolves game, 106-80. They dominated the Denver Nuggets. That game was awesome to watch.
I feel like on this very show a couple of months ago, I said that the T-Wolves have absolutely zero shot against the Denver Nuggets. And here we are. Denver has been thoroughly outplayed in this series to this point. I mean, Anthony Edwards is drawing Michael Jordan comparisons out of it. And Denver, for all the success that they've had over the past calendar year, pretty interesting the way that Jamal Murray handled last night, throwing a heat pad onto the court.
Yeah.
I'm very curious as to how the league handles this, because a lot of people seem to believe he'll get suspended for this.
Well, you saw the second one, right?
The second one?
So, I just saw this video. So, he throws the heat pad, and then, like, seconds later, he throws a towel at the ref.
And he's, like, trying to hit the ref.
Yeah. So, he threw two things. It looks like it's a clean video, right? It doesn't look edited, Sean, in your view?
Yeah.
Okay. So
you never know these days.
Because you never know. Like it's
as clear as it can be, but
like, it could be from two separate moments.
It is from the broadcast like angle of like live play. There's Karl Towns making a layup that's happening, and you see Jamal Murray throw a heating pad, and then one of the ball boys like, because it doesn't hit the ref, it lands behind the ref, like kind of it lands between the ref and the ball boy. The ball boy takes it. And then he throws a towel that actually makes it onto the court. And so Karl Towns makes a layup, and then the ref blows it dead to pick up the towel that's off the court. And, yeah, it looked like Jamal Murray threw both of them.
I think he's going to get suspended.
Man, it's Jamal Murray, though.
It's the NBA.
Second-best player.
They have done this before, where they've ended a series because of suspension. It was the Spurs and Suns with Amari Stoudemire and Boris Diaw coming up off the bench after Robert Horry checked Steve Nash into the scores table. They take a few steps off the bench, and the rule is if you leave the bench area to get into an altercation, like you get suspended, and that ended the series basically. So they have done that before.
Yeah, Draymond in the finals.
It's also. Well, that even didn't end the series. They were up 3-1.
Like, right. But it ended the series in a way, if that makes sense. I mean, they were up 3-1. It felt like they were going to win that series. And then after that happened, I don't know. It was like a totally different series after that moment.
Well, because they...
Yeah.
Yeah. They won. But yeah. He was out there for two more games.
I know. But you understand what I'm saying there.
No, I'm saying it's different doing it to a team that's down 2-0.
Yes.
Where they're already, like, they have not a great shot. I think teams that have lost the first two games of a playoff series and come back to win, it's something like 5-35 or something. One of them, the 95 Rockets against the Suns. One of them, the 2005 Mavs against the Rockets. but the odds are already bad. And then if you suspend the second best player when they're already down 0-2, they're likely going to go out down 0-3. Like the series is over then. So it would be. It's something where you don't want them to get suspended, but I don't know. It's pretty like it
feel
is
like
something that's
to.
I mean, I think baseball, worthy. Baseball handles this is one thing baseball does better than would do better than basketball in this moment with what happened with the Astros last year.
Brian Abreu. Like
they made the decision to suspend Brian Abreu for two games. Obviously, they did it with Yuli Gurriel as well back in the day, and I think taking those suspensions and putting them towards the regular season makes more sense in this moment. But it's not what the NBA has done in the past.
It's also not like a perfect punishment, because what you're saying is that like what you did is bad, but not so bad that we're going to suspend you for a playoff game.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
You're actually because like Yuli was suspended for like 10 regular season games. Mm-hmm. Like he got suspended. It was a stiff, stiff punishment that, and then he just gets to still finish the World Series, which no one's mad at. It's just it is a little hypocritical to be like, you know, you got suspended for doing something racist in the dugout. It's so bad that we're not suspending you for the World Series. We are, though, suspending for the regular season.
But yeah, Anthony Edwards is up. He's a monster.
He's been really good.
He's so good. They
and he's so likable, too.
Suffocating defense. He makes Carl Anthony Towns likable. That's how likable he is.
I'm not going to go that far.
I don't know. I was watching the game last night. I was like, all right, Cat. Like, Cat's feeling it a little bit here.
Yeah, Cat's bought into the defensive stuff. Like, he is a better player now. some of that goes to the new coaching staff, or not new, but, you know, the most recent coaching staff that they had. And I think
some
of it
does
come from what?
Playing with Rudy Gobert.
And some of it comes, well, not last night. Some of it comes with Anthony Edwards. Like, the team really does kind of take on the personality of its leader, it feels like. And that's what's happening with Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns, where it's like, man, I didn't think Carl Towns had it in him to play this kind of playoff defense.
They're so fortunate that Edwards has turned into this because, I mean, just think about how in Carl Anthony Towns and in Rudy Gobert, you have two guys with tons of accolades that probably no one would follow, ever.
I mean, and a lot of, I thought you were going to say accolades and, like, they have, like, a lot of history being, like, soft. Like,
there's that
they
too.
Have history no,
they
of
do.
Like they have bad history that but, you're talking about.
But they also have, I mean, whether it's statistics
defensive
or
player
awards,
of the year, yeah.
Right? Like they've done a lot, and yet I think if anyone saw those guys, are you going to want to be on their team?
No.
Probably not.
No. If 2 years ago you're like, yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to put Carl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert on the same team.
I mean, they
like,
immediately
sick.
Everyone immediately said it was one of the worst trades in the history of the NBA when the Timberwolves gave up 4 first-round picks and a player in Walker Kessler.
Yeah,
for Rudy Gobert, and it's worked out great for them.
It is.
They might like they. I watched them last night, and I thought this is the team that can give Boston a run.
Yeah,
like Anthony Edwards is that good.
I think the winner. Well. I think the winner of this series is the best team in the West, no doubt. And they're probably the only teams that could beat Boston. Either Denver or – if they don't suspend Jamal Murray, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they can come back and win this.
I don't like that you guys are just writing Boston in as the Eastern.
Well, they're not going to lose to the Cavs.
Yeah, I mean, look, the other game last night
they're
was –
not going to lose to the Knicks.
Yeah, the Knicks beat the Pacers. That game had its own weird stuff at the end of the game.
Oh, that was terrible. That was
an awful call.
I mean, look, we're about to see the Astros play a New York team. This was the most New York bias I think I've ever seen in a sporting event ever.
It was an awful, awful call.
The kickball in the last minute. DiVincenzo flopping like that kid that went viral flopping in that basketball game. If you haven't seen that, look it up.
That kid's wild.
There's a video, like an HD, like super high-res video of some probably like 10-year-old.
Yeah, like 8 to 10.
Flopping. It's just an outrageous flop. Imagine an 8-year-old shoving somebody with that force when he is a little twig. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what DiVincenzo did in that moment in time. There were a couple other misses, too. I saw someone put a blog together about it. I'm sure there were some missed calls that were in the Pacers' favor, too, because that's how these games typically work. But the end of that game, to have not one but two just clear bad calls against the Pacers, makes me feel very much that, yeah, the NBA wants New York to finally go deep in the playoffs.
Because you need, like, if you want to go to the NBA conspiracy theory, you need Boston or New York in the NBA finals. Because the other side is going to be Minnesota or Oklahoma City, most likely.
Or Denver, yeah.
Or Dallas.
Yeah,
rooting for them all.
I said the team that's down 0-2 before I said the team that has not played
which
a game.
Which is crazy because they have Kyrie and Luka.
So that a team with its best player, Serbian, a team with its best player, Slovenian, and Kyrie, plus these two teams in markets that aren't that big of a deal, Indiana, Cleveland. Yeah, you're right. Oof.
Boston, New York. Gotta happen.
You gotta have Boston or New York in there.
See this Jalen Brunson. We mentioned Michael Jordan earlier with Anthony Edwards. Did you see the Jalen Brunson Michael Jordan statistic that came out?
No, I didn't.
Jalen Brunson has dropped 210 points in his last 5 games, the most over a 5-game span in the playoffs. since Michael Jordan in 1993.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry. The New Yorkers are really trying too hard to make Jalen Brunson into God. I'm sorry.
He's not like a top 10 player.
I'll do that
NBA.
With Anthony Edwards. I'll go along with it. With Jalen Brunson, I'm sorry. I still want to see him go up against Boston in the 7-game series.
Oh, totally.
And like that kind of a defense. We'll see. But I mean, he is playing awesome. Great. There's no doubt about it. And good for New York fans finally having something to cheer for in basketball, because they do deserve at least some respect that they actually have stuck with this god-awful franchise run by a complete idiot for the longest time.
Yeah, that's one of the worst. I don't know.
James Dolan might be the worst owner.
I don't know. I don't know if you get credit for sticking around.
You know how I feel about that.
You're kind of a loser if you stop. Have some self-respect.
That's a good crowd. It's always a good crowd.
It is a good crowd.
They also, like, the only reason why he's there is because they hired his dad. The only reason why Jalen Brunson's
that too.
Yeah,
like, that's true. Because he just follows daddy wherever he goes. He was supposed to go to Temple in college, but his dad got some allegations and got fired. So he ended up like, I'll just stay in the area and go to Villanova.
Go to Nova.
And then he's in the Knicks because his dad worked for the franchise.
All the Nova guys were there. Some, I also saw an annoying, insufferable Philadelphia sports account tweet like, oh, Villanova's players were on the court for the Knicks at the end of this game. So like Philadelphia's low-key rooting for the team that just beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah,
really?
Because they have like a couple of Villanova players.
They have three.
They have Brunson, DiVincenzo, there's somebody else.
Josh Hart.
Because I was seeing stuff where, it was during the Philly-New York series where they're like they're getting mad at Villanova for tweeting out like highlights for the Knicks.
I think
they're
like, this is why
Villanova isn't a Philly school, because that's also something they hit them with.
It's
like in the suburbs.
It's pretty far away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to a broadcasting camp at Villanova back in 2006 before my senior year of high school, and it is very far away from Philadelphia proper. It's about an hour away. Gotta take a train.
Oh, yeah, it's not Philly, then.
No, it's not.
It's definitely not
it's
Philly.
It's not.
No wonder they don't claim it.
It's College Station. It's calling College Station.
It's not College Station far, but it's far.
But relative to, like, how distances work in Houston in Texas.
Versus, like, other states.
Yeah, versus other states where things are closer, but it is the same as being 2 hours away.
I'll give you a little more Philadelphia info that no one cares about, but my mom's family's from there, and Villanova is the school that looks down on all the other Philadelphia schools, which include Drexel, Temple, St. Joseph's, and Penn, ironically, the Ivy League school.
I mean, it definitely sounds like College Station then.
less culty. More Catholic. I suppose.
How many players?
Like, to some people.
Like, cult, Catholic Church. Sorry if that offends you. Not sorry. What's the difference?
Yeah. How many players on the Knicks played at Penn?
The Aggies are friendlier.
They are?
The Aggie cult's a friendlier cult. Yeah, the Aggies are friendly.
Yeah, I guess I'm not worried about going to an Aggies game.
It's just creepy.
Paul and I, we can speak with authority here. Catholics aren't the most fun bunch.
No.
The Aggies at least seem fun.
The Aggies are fun. It's just a little different. But, like, yeah, the Catholic mass could use a yell leader.
Yeah. Can we saw them off during the communion or something?
Come on.
Can't wait to join the Catholics as they travel to Aggieland for the first game of the college.
Oh, yeah, because you're a Notre Dame guy.
Yeah, I can't wait to go to that game. Except it's going to be so hot.
It will be warm.
It's going to be very warm. All right, when we get back, we're gonna play a game today, inspired by a segment we did yesterday. We talked about how disappointing the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning have been for the Astros. So I have a list of things, and I'm going to see what's more disappointing, 7, 8, 9 for the Astros or this. We'll do that next when we get back on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, I want to tell you about my friends at O-Athletic. You can check them out, oathletic.com or 767 North Shepherd. If you want to sign up for personal training, you can do that 1-3-5 times a week, every other week, however you want to handle it. Whether you want to do an intense workout with a trainer or just use them as someone that helps you guide through the process of trying to lose weight or gain muscle mass, lean out. I've got my next training session this week with my guy Cam. So whatever you want, you can do at O Athletic. Work out by yourself, have a personal trainer, or they have over 100 classes per week. They start early in the day or right around when work gets out for you as well at 4:30. O Athletic is a great place to work out. State-of-the-art, awesome place. Check it out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd, and tell them Joe George sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed are you with the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning performances of the Astros, those three guys, Abreu, Presley, Hader, this season? 10?
11.
Okay. Sean, higher or lower than an 11 for you?
I'll go with the 10. I'll stay within 10? The realm of of the game.
Say 12.
Thank you.
Say 13, Joe.
Between 10 15. And 12.
Between I like 10 it. And 12. That's the right answer.
That's the number of the
that's
day.
That's the right answer.
Like
that's
the amount of pitches Lance McCullers allegedly threw.
All right, so we're going to play a game. More disappointing or not than these guys. So in honor of them releasing this movie back in theaters after their 25 years, what was more disappointing, the current 7, 8, 9 guys for the Astros or the Star Wars prequels for you?
The prequels, not the sequels.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. Because they just put Episode 1, Phantom Menace, back in theaters.
Okay, and the rules of the game are more or less disappointing than the back of the Astros bullpen.
Yep.
This is a fun game.
Star Wars prequels.
Revenge of the Sith was good.
I agree. Good take, Paul.
Revenge of the Sith was good, so I will say the Astros 7, 8, and 9. Attack of the Clones is rough outside of...
outside of what?
Padme Amidala.
I mean, the Grievous fight's pretty good. Is that 2? No, that's 3.
That's 3.
I guess when they killed... I don't know. It's not good.
Two has.
I remember more about Phantom Menace.
Padme looks good in white.
Clones.
That's all I'm trying to say. Padme looks good in white. And one, you had Darth Maul, but for the most part, the prequel, rough.
You had Yoda and Count Dooku.
That's solid.
Duking it out at the end of 2.
That's true. Yeah. That was the best part of 2, other than Padme.
There we go. Yeah. So we found one. It took 5 minutes, but we found one good thing.
Like when they're in like the Coliseum, that scene's pretty good when they escape.
Padme's in white,
Yeah. That's pretty much it. So, okay. So, the Star Wars prequels are not...
They're pretty rough.
They are pretty rough.
The Phantom Menace and the
Attack
one,
of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones. They have, like, an 11 ERA.
Yeah,
like,
they are worse than Brian Abreu and Ryan Presley. But Revenge of the Sith is better than Josh Hader.
Sure.
I would say. Sure.
I did watch both of those movies along with the originals when I was a kid, so I didn't hate them as much as I do upon the rewatch, but
oh, they're kids' movies.
Episode 2, the Anakin hitting on Padme by the lake at Naboo, like, I hate sand.
Yeah.
It's coarse and it gets everywhere. It's not smooth like you.
Even as a kid, because it's hard for me to participate in the biggest disappointment because, like, I didn't have hopes for any of these movies. They just kind of already existed.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember the first time I watched The Phantom Menace being like, huh. Being like, this isn't that good of a movie as like a 9-year-old.
You didn't like Jake Lloyd? The Anakin? What is this? As a kid?
Yeah.
Why is he pod racing against an alien?
So because of your age, were you introduced to Star Wars 4, 5, 6?
Yeah.
First?
Okay. Yeah.
That's one thing, like, as a parent, I have to do.
I remember...
He has to watch those first.
I threw a temper tantrum at the end of A New Hope because Darth Vader didn't die. And I was mad that he didn't die.
Wow.
I thought he escaped. And I didn't know that there were other movies.
Oh.
I had no clue.
Gotcha.
But I loved it. I thought Star Wars was awesome.
All right. What's more disappointing? Abreu, Presley, and Hader? This one's really just for Paul, I guess. Or the Patriots Dynasty documentary?
Well, I mean, oof. At the very least, the Astros relievers have closed some of the games.
Okay.
But, I still got to go. I still got to go 7, 8, and 9
for the
Astros because... At the very least, while watching the Dynasty documentary, I did tear up a couple of times remembering some moments as a boy watching the Patriots and the first couple of titles that they won.
All right. Sean, are you more disappointed with the Astros 7, 8, and 9 or Yao Ming's career with the Rockets? Because there's some peak Yao Ming moments.
There are some peak Yao Ming moments.
Yao Ming hater out here.
What?
He's a lot of injuries. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how many seasons like ended in February? There's a lot of them. How many All-Star games did he get voted into that he didn't play any of the season?
Sean, China might be listening. Got to be careful.
They also were disappointing in Yao's career. I'm sure they were. I'm sure they would have loved it if it was better.
Hall of Fame, though.
That's a tough one. I'll go Yao Ming's career more disappointing.
I figured that would be your answer.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Bane was in it, so I loved it.
Yeah.
The movie's not good, but Bane saved it.
Oh, he does.
I think the movie's good, and that's it. I think it's like just good, or it's like coming off of one of the greatest ever.
That's why.
And then
the
step down from greatest ever to good is big, to where you're like, I don't feel fulfilled, but it's better than a lot of superhero movies.
The plot was a little bit jumpy at the end. I did not think that the Talia al Ghul and Bruce Wayne love affair would have happened as quickly as it did.
Yeah.
Especially after he became a broke boy. Yeah, yeah. He gets laid after going bankrupt in front of a roaring fire at
his
mansion.
Maybe that's what you should try.
What?
File
Being
bankruptcy.
Rich? Oh.
Yeah, I will say, he was going broke inside of a mansion. That helps.
That's like one of the best moments of the movie when he's telling Catwoman that he's broke. And he's like, well, I get to keep the house. And she's like, well, I guess rich people like go broke differently too. And he's like, yeah.
Then him losing his money is like the most, he's like, what? Like, I see why it happens in a comic book. But once you put like actual like actors in a guy who was in The Big Short into like, nope, a whole bunch of suspicious deals happened and he lost all of his money. Nothing we can do about it. It's like, nope, I'm pretty sure he would have had a credit card at some point.
All right, so it sounds like the Astros won this one again.
Yeah, because yeah, Tom Hardy as Bane is the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gone from reckoning.
Right, I have two more.
Josh Hader's Astros reckoning.
Astros 789 guys or the 2016 Astros? Yeah, the big high of 2015.
But 2016, you were disappointed, sure, but I don't think anyone thought in 2016 that they were legitimate,
sure,
like World Series favorites. Sure, contender, because they made it to the playoffs and they had almost beaten the Royals the year before. But I remember going into that year thinking, okay, like I'm hoping that we get a similar result to the year before. I didn't. So I will again say 7, 8, and 9. They're so well paid.
I know for sure I'm going to get at least one non-789 from you in the next one.
Okay.
I think as it stands right now, 7, 8, 9, because of the reasons Paul said. But I mean, the 2016 Astros, not shocking. They actually did it for a whole season.
Yeah.
The body of work. But there's time for 7, 8, 9 to dig themselves out of it. And, you know, just make the playoffs, which is something the 2016 Astros didn't do.
Third place.
But for right now, you got to go with the current Astros.
Okay, I think you're going to not choose the Astros for this one.
Okay.
I think. I know you as well as I think I do, which isn't super great still, but I'm learning. The ending of Game of Thrones.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, that's probably the most disappointed I've ever been watching a television or movie.
You guys go.
It took me a while to, I think, get past the ending of the episode. I thought that him, Jon Snow killing Daenerys was good.
I agree.
I thought that was the best part, but I was disappointed after the third episode, the battle against the Army of the Dead, because it just felt like, oh, you were hyping these guys up for a long period of time, and no one of note died, and you get out of this essentially completely scot-free and totally fine take on the Lannisters down south.
And you
south.
Could barely see it.
Right, that too, like, yeah.
And you've got Starbucks cups. And water bottles.
Yeah.
Like, and you've got trucks in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it is like the absurd, like, things that happened in that season. The fact that you saw a truck, a plane, a water bottle, a Starbucks cup in one season of television is incredible.
Those parts, I didn't notice them, so not as big of a deal to me. After the fact, it's kind of funny. But the totality of episode or season 8, yeah. I mean, the last really good episode of Game of Thrones was the loot train battle, which was preceded by when they marched on Highgarden, and that was a bit of a twist. But that was like the last like good, oh, damn, moment in Game of Thrones. Tell us, I want Cersei to know it was me. And the loot train battle was sick. It was so awesome. And then after that, it just sucked the rest of the way, honestly. Except for a couple of moments, the Hound versus the Mountain on the stairs.
Even that, I thought that was a bummer. Because there was so, it was good, but there was so much hype. I kind of hate that he would that the Mountain was this zombie character. Like,
yeah,
I know that's what it is. But, like, I know that's in the books and everything like that. But like, it loses like the brother, the Undertaker Kane kind of connection in that moment. Like,
I didn't know they were brothers.
I mean, isn't he literally? I mean, he's undead.
That's okay. You know what?
It's like literally what
Undertaker. I'm an idiot. And Kane's burnt in the face.
wait, did yeah,
that's the whole
who wrote
thing.
This? Who wrote this? George Martin?
Yeah.
Did he take it from Undertaker and Kane?
Maybe he did.
Hell yeah, dude.
Sean, which one do you lean on?
Well, because I watched I didn't watch Game of Thrones like as it happened until the last season, so I didn't have like years of build up to this. It was like a month of build up. so I'll still go with 7, 8, 9. Because I wasn't disappointed because I didn't have a lot invested into Game of Thrones.
I had a lot. I mean, I did a podcast. I'd watched every episode like 6 times. Like, yeah.
Now I'll see
crushing.
What this is about.
That
I was
crushed
like, this is
me.
Good, guys.
It crushed me. That was like being the Game of Thrones guy was like a huge part of my identity. Yeah. Sad. And then they just blew it like that.
How many different Game of Thrones characters did you dress up for for Halloween?
Only one.
Okay.
Only Jon?
Only Jon Snow, yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only one I could really pull off.
Oh, you could do Littlefinger.
Oh, that's true.
I've loved you since I was a boy, Sansa.
Yeah.
What a weird character.
But I'd have to. I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, he's not.
You'd have to debase yourself.
Littlefinger's not hot enough to get to. I mean, not that I've ever had sex, but he's not hot enough to help me.
It's more of a funny costume.
Yeah, it is a funny costume, but you'd have to explain it to Littlefinger. You'd have to explain. Jon Snow, everyone knows.
Text line here says the worst part is they made us wait 2 years for Game of Thrones.
Mm.
Well, they made us wait 2 years to get a good lefty in the bullpen, and he sucks too.
So, Dusty just hated lefties.
Gotcha. All right. What's going on in the NFL? Our 10-minute drill. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts. Now,
football time.
All right, news in the division today. Tyler Boyd was probably one of the best wide receivers, if not the best wide receiver left on the market. He has signed a 1-year deal worth up to $4.5 million with the Tennessee Titans. So, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, Treylon Burks. It's not a bad wide receiver core.
It's a lot. And once again, look at the Houston Texans secondary. You have Derek Stingley Jr., who is not always there. And then who do you have? I understand that people are excited about Kamari Lassiter. I understand that you look at the nickel position. Looks all right. But someone is going to have to step up in that number two corner spot. And, yeah, the Titans' weapons, better. Jaguars' weapons, not better. Definitely worse, but you also take a look at the Colts. That's just in the division. Then you got all the quarterbacks out of the division. It's going to be a tough year for the Texans. The Titans got a little bit better on offense.
Do you wish the Texans had signed Tyler Boyd, Paul? Do you think they needed another?
Stop. You all know the answer to this. You're just trying to get a rise out of
them. Maybe one of them could play quarterback.
Sean is just suggesting that the Texans play defense. That they stop their division rival from signing Tyler Boyd.
That's a great way to operate.
You convert John Metchie to a cornerback.
Hate you both. Yeah.
And Xavier Hutchinson.
My
corner and safety solved.
Just take your sign a bunch of wide receivers, turn the worst ones into cornerbacks. Boom.
I mean, Trayvon Diggs.
You know what? Good idea.
The ones with the worst hands.
Yeah. Good idea.
So that way when they drop picks, you go, well, that's why they're not a receiver.
Trayvon Diggs was a wide receiver for a while.
Yeah.
And then good idea. A corner.
Now look at it.
It's a good idea. I'm agreeing with you guys.
Hey, Jim Irsay says, I smell a 2024 schedule coming out soon.
Well, he's smelling, so that's nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of things he's smelling.
He's alive.
Dirt. I thought he was dead. I'm not even 100% sure he is alive. It was a statement, right?
It's his tweet.
That's what I mean, though. It was a written statement.
I guess, yeah.
Not a video.
Yeah.
Like were that there video. Any emojis
so, oh, so we have no proof that it was actually him, is what you're saying.
It's not a video of him saying.
Not a video. And Sean, you said there's no emojis in it.
Oh, no. I was asking if there's any.
Oh, there is emojis.
Oh, there's emojis? Okay, dang.
There is one
it's
football.
From the man himself.
There's one football emoji.
Would be funny if he was sending another video of him watching South Park with clearly another broad, like, with her hand on his chest.
We were just talking about during the break about the Clippers TV show that's coming out.
Oh.
There's definitely going to be a Jim Irsay TV show. At some point.
I don't know. He's not relevant enough, but I think there could be.
He needs a scandal. That's what he needs.
Yeah, he needs to get like
canned. Because Donald Sterling was like an absolute clown show owner, but there wasn't like a definitive like exclamation point on his story until he got thrown out of the league for being racist to Magic Johnson.
Yeah, Sterling, you just have the bag of drugs in the car. Or excuse me, Irsay, you just have the bag of drugs in the car. You have his father moving the team out. But I feel like a fictionalized owner like Jim Irsay is something that would potentially be TV show worthy. Jim Irsay himself, nah.
When they remake Playmakers, the owner of the team has to be loosely based off of Jim Irsay.
Definitely.
If the Colts had won more, then this could have happened. They didn't win enough.
That's true.
So it's Peyton Manning's fault.
Yeah. If they would have, in 2014, if the Patriots didn't cheat and they're able to win that one, then.
There's so many big Colts losses against the Patriots that really, like, just kind of killed the show in its crib.
Most of them had to do with cheating. Oh, a Patriots show. That would be a good one.
Where do you even start?
The cheating.
You're being a jerk.
it's
the murder.
It's like the crime, true crime show, but it's about the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I don't even know where you start.
Like, I don't know. Just based off the roast, that seems like all the things that happened was cheating and murder.
Isn't there a Patriots TV show coming out?
Oh, and Tom Brady leaving his pregnant girlfriend.
I mean,
we don't all know
the backstory to that. We just know the allegations.
I'm just basing it off the roast. I'm sorry.
There is an Aaron Hernandez TV show coming out.
Like
a sitcom?
No.
Oh.
I swear there is. Because I thought I saw Kirk Minahan tweet that like he was reacting to.
He's a very sarcastic person. So
someone was being cast as him to like be played in this TV show. As like they're talking about the Aaron Hernandez,
someone is being cast to play Kirk Minahan. That is
like,
fascinating.
There's like a TV show in which they're going
to
like use video from him.
Oh, that's fun!
And like reenact. I think as they talk about Aaron Hernandez killing people.
Man, that's pretty interesting.
Hey, but you know what's up? You know what else
I enjoy
is interesting?
Kirk.
He's great. I love Kirk Minahan.
He's
a loony bin.
He has. So when I was doing my little summer where I was working on the weekends at WEEI and getting calls to fill shifts at like Friday at like 5 p.m. So I would throw my weekend plans out so I could do a Red Sox post game show all the time. Mm-hmm. So I would do the post game show or I would do a little shift. And every now and then Kirk Minahan would absolutely flame me the next morning. And I thought it was so funny every single time. Minahan's great.
Hey, you know what? Andrew Berry from the Browns.
Yeah.
You know, Paul, he has high expectations for Deshaun Watson this year in the offense in 2024. So we know Deshaun Watson's throwing. We know he's throwing the ball like 40 yards, and now they have high expectations.
I'm wondering if Andrew Berry's job status is linked to Deshaun Watson's performance this coming season.
Should be. Because you can't get rid of Deshaun.
But the thing is, they did so well last year without Deshaun, in spite of the bad contract. You could say that's all Kevin Stefanski. You could say that
Andrew Berry might not have even had necessarily the say when it came to bringing in Deshaun Watson. I'm sure Jimmy Haslam had to sign off on that.
That's probably true.
But I wonder, because they had such a good year last year, it almost feels like they did give themselves a little bit of leeway to perhaps remove themselves from this current mess that would be continuing if Watson comes back and continues to struggle for what will be a third straight season, even if it's not a third straight full season.
It's a fascinating... If they miss the playoffs, Deshaun Watson is average to below average. How do you proceed? Because you can blame the coach.
But you can't after he won Coach of the Year, right?
Yeah, he's two-time Coach of the Year.
But I mean, you can't. Guys have been fired after winning Coach of the Year.
Yeah,
true.
But Ron Rivera's won like three of them.
Yeah, but he's not getting the best out of Deshaun Watson. Or do you get rid of Deshaun Watson somehow and just eat dead cap forever?
I don't think you can just like eat the dead cap though, because it's like such a big number.
Yeah,
and it's Broncos all are. Guaranteed that.
It's all guaranteed.
You might as well just have it becomes the choice of, if we're going to be rebuilding anyway, why rebuild with dead money on our books? Just this guy under quarterback is basically dead money already. So I don't know. I get what you're saying with Andrew Berry's job maybe being in question at some point, but what Paul brought up is a good point. Like, there's no way that Jimmy Haslam wasn't on board with the Deshaun Watson trade and contract. Mm-hmm. Like, he literally had to have signed off on it. His daughter said it was okay to trade for Deshaun Watson. Actual thing that Jimmy Haslam said.
It probably was just his decision. Straight up.
And Jimmy Haslam's one of those owners where I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would be brush aside the football people and be like, no, make this thing happen. And it blows up in his face. And like you said, like everything, all the other moves have seemed to work except for that one.
Okay, here is the Deshaun Watson contract numbers. If they cut Deshaun Watson pre-June 1st right now, they would have $200 million in dead cap.
Okay, I think that's over the salary cap.
If they cut him pre-June 1st, 2025, it would be $136 million dead cap.
That's over half the salary cap.
If they cut him pre-June 1st, 2026, $73 million dead cap. And he will automatically cost them $9 million against dead cap in 2027, even though he's not under contract.
Well, that's not ideal.
They're not cutting him for the next 2 years.
He's Deshaun. Like, I mean, you can't take $72 million in 2026. You'd have to blow up your entire roster.
How much did the Broncos eat for Wilson?
It wasn't like $84 million total.
But it was spread out?
Yeah.
Do you think that the Haslams are above, I don't know, doing something that some claim the McNairs were doing right after Deshaun Watson had said he never wanted to play for the Houston Texans again? Do you think Jimmy Haslam's above that?
Oh, like framing Deshaun?
If the question is, do I think Jimmy Haslam is above fill in the blank, answer, probably no. probably no.
Thank you.
He's been convicted of crimes.
So this is where Jimmy Haslam maybe gets some of those Cleveland guys.
The Flying J trucks.
And that multinational corporation. Maybe Deshaun Watson is found doing things that he's already been allegedly found to have done. Listen, I don't be surprised if you see that if there's another bad season of him under quarterback.
What? Don't be...
A billionaire doing something nefarious to get out from paying a guy a lot of money?
What if Jimmy Haslam goes to Saudi Arabia and he's like, you know what would be a great idea? Live football. And if you're willing to buy Deshaun Watson out of his contract, I don't know what Jimmy Haslam could do. Give him some semi trucks. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Jimmy Haslam can provide. Some underhanded under the table dealing to, hey, Saudis, buy Deshaun Watson out of his contract. We'll let you do it.
Yeah, I think that's.
And then
that's
he's
it.
The face of Saudi American football.
All right. Well, this is funny. People are wondering that if they're eventually gonna like own a team.
Saudis?
Yeah. Like this, like the Live Group. If they're gonna try to,
don't they? I thought they bought like part of the Chargers.
Oh, did they?
I thought they own a minority stake or something.
I think they're going to, like, people think they're gonna go for a majority.
Oh, okay.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, maybe Jimmy Haslam's the way to...
I don't know. Enough money, I think.
Hey, you guys buy out Deshaun Watson. I'll make sure everyone else votes for you.
I don't know. I feel like the NFL owners are...
Will stand on principle?
No, I think they're... Let's say they're more patriotic is the friendly way to say it.
Okay. That's fair.
Interpret that how you may.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a little resistant to, I don't know, someone looking different than them joining the club. I get that there have been some minority owners, literal minority owners, not just talking about the minority ownership stake. I know that there have been some. It feels like this group in particular, they would say no to 100% based in USA. Like, this is the one thing that they won't look the other way for money-wise.
I don't know. I mean, the actual USA has looked the other way.
I agree.
From those guys.
I agree.
The actual government.
Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking too highly of these guys.
Yeah, I think you are.
You're thinking too highly of Jerry Jones. That you think that Jerry Jones cannot be bought.
All right.
This is a different kind of buying.
His morality cannot be... His patriotism cannot be bought.
Yeah.
Like, they offered $10 billion for the Cowboys.
The live blowback has blown over. Yeah, to that point.
I mean, think about it. Like, it blew over, and if it wasn't for a lawsuit, they would have bought the PGA Tour. Like, that deal happened. It just has been stopped. So, like, it's not crazy to see, like, this group gets a hold of an NFL team at some point.
And the thing is, you would think that they would just buy, like, an expensive team that comes on the market, because what do they care? So it's like, yeah, they might own, I don't know, like the.
I mean, what better way to own America's team than to get into the NFL?
Oh, I think
like to buy the Cowboys from Stephen Jones.
Yeah, you. I think you would have to wait until Jerry.
I mean, that would be the end of America as the global power.
You want to talk about sports washing? Like, buy America's team. In that moment.
If America's team gets sold to the Saudis, like, even if you are from Houston, Texas, and hate the Cowboys, or Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and hate the Cowboys, that would be one of the darkest days in American history.
All right. Gilbert Arenas, he had thoughts. We touched on it earlier, but we'll get into those next year. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I mentioned earlier, Rudy Gobert has not been around for the NBA playoffs, or at least for the last two games, as the Timberwolves are looking to take down the defending champion Denver Nuggets. And he's, you know, birth of a baby. He's got family. He's got to be a responsible man. According to some, he's been an irresponsible teammate. Here is Gilbert Arenas.
Speaking of irresponsible teammates.
With his thoughts on this.
I mean, missing this game for that baby. I see you.
It's a baby, bro. It's going to be there when you get back. We hope.
Right.
I mean, God, I'm just saying.
Deal.
I'm just saying. The baby going to be
okay,
trusted.
But unnecessary.
The baby going to, it don't know. It, whatever you about to think you about to do with the baby, he going to be asleep.
To Gilbert's defense,
yes,
nothing he said there was wrong, but it's not about being there for the baby, I would guess, Joe.
Yes.
Again, virgin, never had sex in my life because I've never had a child, but Joe, you, sir, have a child.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the baby's not going to remember that moment. Would be a pretty traumatic moment to remember. But I would assume that your wife was very happy that you were there for that.
Yes. I think the Gilbert Arenas take is funny, like, just because, like, we've seen this. We've seen players not do this. We've seen players, you know, not miss games and miss the birth of children. It's not common. It has happened. Yeah, you're there for the wife. You're not there for the baby. I mean, you are. But, like, I was there, like, I think my wife was happier. Like, she couldn't eat for like 24 hours. So like, I went and got Chick-fil-A for her. So like, she had food after everything. So like, that seemed more important in the moment.
I was about to ask what the role of a father is in the process.
It depends. I mean, like, I wasn't there. Like, I didn't drop her off at the hospital. Like, my wife had to be induced. So,
I was going to say, were you producing a big show or something?
I was producing a Rockets game.
Wow.
Oh, damn.
So, miss a game.
They knew she was not going to, like, have the baby until Saturday. So, I worked on Friday night. Now, part of that is because I had a bad job in which I was treated awfully, and I didn't have actual vacation time. So, to be there with my son, I had to not work for 2 weeks. So, we decided that I would not be there that first night. So I wouldn't miss any time. So that's part of the reason why I handled the situation I did.
Sucks.
Yeah, not having vacation time while having a kid's a tough thing. Or maternity leave. It's tough. I don't really like, look, that's Gilbert's perspective. Honestly, like, I think it's up to the wife. Whatever she wants. Like, I think what Scottie
I agree there.
Like Scottie Scheffler, like, his wife was there at the Masters. She was not in labor. Like, she was there. It was the most overblown story we've ever had. Of sports. Of just be like, he might have to leave the Masters. Dude, she's there. Like, and you don't think if he's leading the Masters? Like, if this is game 5 of the NBA Finals and Rudy Gobert can win a championship, I bet you he's playing basketball.
Probably.
I bet you he's playing basketball.
I will say with Rudy Gobert, he does not seem to be well-liked in NBA circles. Yeah. So would he have that same kind of passion for his teammates, especially when he's getting paid the way that he is? And on top of that, it's his first kid, right? I think it is. If I'm wrong, maybe it's a little bit different. But I imagine, too, it's pretty cool to pick up your child for the first time.
Oh, it's incredible.
Okay, Gilbert. Gilbert Arenas behind the glass.
No, what Gilbert Arenas? No, it's really cool picking up that gun in the locker room. That's what's really cool. I mean, that's what we're talking about when you said maybe doesn't have the best history of being there for his team. Yeah, when he got suspended for a season for pulling a gun on a teammate in the locker room. Yeah,
yeah, it is like the last person you should be taking good teammate advice from. Probably in sports history.
There's a meme that I keep seeing. It's a picture of Vince Carter, and it says, "I've got another one in me." I think this was when he was coming back for his 20-whatever-th year, and you know he's got a headband on. He looks a lot older than the young Vince Carter. People post this meme whenever Gilbert Arenas says some dumb bleep. Like every single time, it's like Gilbert. Whenever the haters think he's done saying dumb stuff. And then that
got one more in me
right out.
Also, I was looking this up because I just wanted to double check this. According to the New York Post, this actually 20 minutes ago, Scottie Scheffler and his wife Meredith are still on baby watch as PGA Championship looms. So she wasn't even like that close to being or this baby is way overdue, but. Still,
that doesn't really happen.
I wonder why the Masters ratings were down so much. If this is the only story that they were trying to push the whole time,
the guy who's winning this might leave.
His wife is pregnant.
That makes it sound like he might play the PGA Tour, the PGA Championship, and then still not have a baby.
That's also how I read that headline.
Yeah, it's like,
wait, what's the, how pregnant is this woman?
It's another story.
She's 6 months pregnant, and just like
I think she's like early 8 months, but I think it's their first kid, and like first, you know. One lesson is that typically the first baby will go the full term or closer to the full term.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wow. Gilbert Arenas with his takes on babies.
I'm not going to lie. I do enjoy his perspective.
He's got the hottest takes, though.
I don't agree with really anything he's ever said or done.
I think I'm at like 10%. 10% I agree with him. There's some times where I'm like, you know what? Gil's right. I wouldn't say it the way he's saying it, but he's right.
It's funny how many people get worked up by this stuff.
I mean, you still want to see the crazy person say crazy things.
Yeah.
He's promoting his podcast.
And he does it very well.
He does.
He just says the craziest things to promote.
There is a reason that his clips go viral, like, every 2 weeks. Is that, like, he does stuff like this. And it seems, like, authentic to who he was because even as a player, he seemed like a loose cannon. I don't know why I had that impression that he might be.
Emphasis on loose cannon.
Yeah, emphasis on cannon.
As you said, Sean, yesterday, ABP.
Always be podcasting.
Always be podcasting. Gilbert, he's done a great job finding a second career after that loose cannon of his. Forcing
jeopardize.
Him out.
Yeah,
the different
the
loose
one.
Cannon than this cannon. Now It's his mouth. You know, he's turned in his badge and his gun for a megaphone to just say the dumbest bleep possible. And
respect.
Yeah, we're brothers in arms with him. Not in those kind of arms. In metaphorical brother in arms.
All right. Let's get back to the Astros Yankees. Maybe we'll hear from Dana Brown. As well, because he has been on making an appearance on the MLB Network.
Oh, what kind of propaganda is that guy pushing today?
Yeah, we'll get into a little bit of that next as well here on
ESPN. Lance McCullers is going to throw 10 pitches, and he's going to throw 11 pitches, and then he's going to throw 12 pitches.
ESPN 97.5.